Good evening. My name is Martin Etchepar. I'm a local resident here on Granada, and I'd like to thank the candidates and the committee that put the conference together here. And I'd like to also thank Pat for his great community meetings. I've attended those, and I really appreciate the community outreach. I'm a former postal employee at the Long Beach Post Office. I'm actually retired, 8 years. And I attended the Long Beach closure, and I'm really astonished that Daryl was the only one that attended that meeting when I know the city hurts for jobs. And they do special arrangements, say, for instance, like Walmart, where they forego municipal taxes to bring in jobs into the community. And the Postal Service jobs, almost 700 of them, are far better paid and benefit jobs to lose those jobs that would frequent those local businesses that we're trying to bring in. It's a major hit. I sent a 4-page letter to the Postal Service and copied all the elected officials in the community. Daryl has been the only individual that's responded to that letter. And with my insights into that, I brought up a lot of issues regarding the waste. Not only the loss of the jobs, but the service standards are going to suffer from overnight delivery, that now it's going to take a week or longer. And I'll tell you from my personal insights, your bulk rate mail that you're going to throw away is going to get better, faster service than your first-class mail. Because the large businesses will be able to drop-ship their mailings directly at the local post office. And I'll tell you, I mailed in my local absentee ballot on Monday. It was returned to me yesterday. I had to drop it in the mail again today after I called the city clerk's office regarding how it boomeranged back. So I would tell you, if you're doing your absentee, get it in early because it may come back to you. My question is to the three candidates is, one, what are you going to be doing about these jobs that we're losing, not only in the post office and other areas where I'm not seeing a whole lot of support? And what are we going to do to bring in new jobs?
Well, let me talk about a few things here. Great information, great points, and you know, we appreciate you sticking up for Long Beach. And again, thank you. With regard to jobs and supporting local and new businesses, because most of the job creation happening in our nation is through small business. That's just a fact. Statistics bear that out. Listen, in my own home, my wife's a small business owner, so I see the struggles every day of a small business owner, for sure. And there's some things I've done about that, specifically in the 4th District and across the city. Let me talk about one area where I've worked real hard to kind of foment more business activity and kind of create a neat area called the Design District, and that's off of Anaheim and Redondo. And that's an area where there's a number of old industrial buildings, and what happened, oh, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little more, was someone bought one of those buildings and they cleaned it out and they remodeled it inside and they kind of did a redo on the front, the facade, and it looked really cool. And what happened was someone saw that and they bought the building next door, and lo and behold, they did the same thing. And the businesses they brought in were absolutely a net positive for this city. They're creative businesses, they're graphic arts businesses, they're architectural firms. One of the firms designs toys that are actually made over in China and then brought back over here and sold. So what you've seen through a lot of my help, quite frankly, my office's help, because we recognize that we need to support business creation in this city and actually across this region. What I did was I participated in making sure that the zoning requirements were changed so that this could keep happening. And what's great is you saw this was private money making this happen. They did this on their own. They just needed government to get a bit out of the way. And it worked. And if you go over there, you go down Coronado, you're going to see a number of businesses that have been rehabilitated. You know, they've got new creative businesses in there. It's growing. So that's one thing I'm very proud of that we've done together working with the businesses over there. Talk about the business license fee. Last year, we had some folks come down and say, you know, the business license fee in Long Beach for certain types of new businesses is just outrageous. So I pushed, pulled, kicked, and we got that business license fee lowered. We also did some other things so that the timeline for opening a new business would be shortened. So with that, those are a few of the things that I've done rather recently to support new business. Is there more to do in Long Beach? For sure. Must we, you know, this is our mantra. I mean, new jobs are coming through creative businesses, and that's what we need to support in every way.
Yeah, go ahead. let me just respond to what I just heard, that Councilmember O'Donnell got business license fees lowered. Yeah. I've been in business for a lot of years in Long Beach, and I'll just take years 2004, when the incumbent took office, till today. My business fees are up 24% since 2004.
This was last year.
Is this a debate, or do I get to speak?
Just hold it. Go ahead.
You know, Bob, I'm being factual, okay? I have the documentation. If you want to know what my business license fee in 2004 was, I can compare that to this year's. It's up 24%. I've been hearing this as walking the neighborhoods. Small business owners, home-based businesses want this reduced. And what service do these business owners get for it? They get the bill sent to them once a year. That's about all you get from the city. So I'm going to work very hard to get that reduced. Mr. Etchepar had talked about the post office. You know, when I attended that meeting, and I listened to Martine, and I had no idea he was a 4th District resident, but what he said was so compelling that I talked to him after the meeting, and I wrote letters to the Postal Service. I wrote a letter to Laura Richardson. I got very enthused about saving these jobs. And what got me the most is kind of the attitude I got from local officials. They said, well, you know, you really can't stop this. It's inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. You know, they're talking to a guy who worked 20 years to cover a ditch. I think I can put a little effort into saving 676 jobs. And just the attitude of the city that we don't have to bring these jobs in. They're here. Let's not lose them. Beyond that, guess what? The Stearns Park residents don't want a big, empty building over there.
1 minute.
You want to be able to have first-class mail, and it'd be nice to get your mail the next day. And what I've talked to letter carriers, they tell me it might be 4 days for first-class mail. And beyond that, I'm a small businessman, been in marketing for many years. I can't compete with the big boys. They have the ability to ship whenever they want, so you'll get it the next day. If I have something really hot on the agenda, I can't get it up because I don't have the clout. So I think that the city really needs to step up to protect the jobs we already have. Thank you.
And the loss of the post office is a big thing for Long Beach because that is used by so many of our residents. It's unfortunate. And we are going to have to look ahead, though, because we cannot have a big vacant facility over there with nothing being done. So we have to look ahead. We also have to look ahead at Boeing. How long can Boeing sustain where they're at? They keep talking about cutting the projects there, and we have to look ahead. Are we starting to court more businesses to come in? Right now, the main feeder for employment is the port, employing longshoremen, great paying jobs. We've created the Middle Harbor Project, the council has, and they've created a lot of jobs within there. But the problem is going to be is we need to make sure that those containers, they're going to get automatically unloaded, have a place to go. We can't just have them sit. We have to look ahead at how we're going to move the cargo. We have to look ahead. We have to start thinking about it. Now, I know we are hoarding different businesses. We try to. But, once again, the loss of the post office is very big, but we do have to look ahead at how long is it going to sit vacant once it's empty, and what can we do with that location. Maybe the city can look at that property instead of shorter. Maybe that can become the new police facility without a mental facility attached to it. We have to look at the big picture, look ahead. Cup might be half full, not half empty. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe Sackett, and I don't think we can just pass over this donning and doffing issue. That's one of the most disgusting things, that people that used to be considered public servants, you know, but they just ripped off the city. How much, Councilman, how much was the final total that the city settled for that donning and doffing?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't cite it. I think there were a number of components to the settlement. It wasn't all cash. But either way, it doesn't.
Have you given vacations yet?
You know, I can't tell you.
$5 million, $10 million, $20 million?
You know, I can't give you the number because I don't know it. I voted. Did I vote for the settlement?
Yes.
I imagine I was there and did vote for the settlement.
Is that what you gave for the Police Officers Association endorsement? And if that's disgusting. These people got paid to go to work, and then after they got their paychecks, they sued the city. That's disgusting.
Well, I defended you. That was my job. And maybe John can speak to the other half of that. But I...
It's just the most sickening thing. I've lived in this town 60 years. And a lot of my friends when I was growing up were all cops. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a really abrupt department, but that's the most sickening thing.
I agree. I was not supportive of that lawsuit.
Could you find out the money? How much?
I could find it out, but I can't do it right now. I can get it to you. Okay, so after this meeting, you and I will have a conversation. I will get you that information. But I can tell you it was a lot of money. It was a very expensive lawsuit. And we fought hard. But at some point, when you're engaged in lawsuits, you have to make a tough decision. And that's what we did. And we felt that that decision was in the best interest of the taxpayer, rather than going on and potentially losing in front of a jury.
I think it looks more like the Police Officers Association has
bought off the entire city council, and no, that it was just a done deal behind closed doors because all of you took the endorsement from the police officers.
Now, see, you got to understand, too, the Police Officers Association wasn't involved. They did not endorse that lawsuit.
Steve,
this lawsuit?
Come on.
And John can speak better to it, because he was a participant.
I bet no one's going to believe that.
Okay, but I can't tell you his motivation. I can't tell you their motivation. I can tell you my response during the course of council engagement on the issue. And I absolutely fought it. I absolutely was against it. And that's it. It's interesting that you're coming to me when I was the no guy. Okay? I was the no guy. I said this is a bad thing. You're correct in that I did vote to settle because the other option was, again, to walk into a courtroom and put it before a jury. And that creates a big unknown. We could have lost a lot bigger. So on the advice of the city attorney, we cut a deal.
Okay.
But again, I was the no guy.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Stock. I'm a resident of Park Avenue. And I'm going to attempt to bring the conversation back to the candidates forum. My question is to candidate Superdome. In your introductory remarks, you had made some comments about decisions being made without the community's awareness of that. And my specific question is to you as to what exactly idea or ideas would you bring forward to see that is mitigated and that we are more informed of things that are going to happen. Because you're suggesting that they have not, that has not been occurring. And then a follow-up question would be to Mr. O'Donnell, if he could please respond to that. Thank you.
Well, in addition to telling you what I plan to do, I can tell you what I already do. I publish a monthly e-newsletter to my neighborhood association. And what I do is I scrutinize the council agenda when it comes out. And that council agenda is available 8 to 10 days before the council meeting. And what I do is I screen it for items that affect our particular neighborhood association, and then I do my monthly newsletter, and that's emailed out to the residents. And I'll give them a heads up on what's coming up on council. And I try to be neutral on it, but I give them the option of showing up if they'd like to speak to city council. And then in mid-month, when things come up, I can send out an email blast the same way. And that's exactly how I'd work with in the council office. Communications is really the key. And while the monthly Chat with Pat meetings are great, and I would continue those, there are about 30 regulars, 30 people get that message every month at the Los Altos Library. And just to give you a kind of perspective on that, in terms of people involved in the process, there are more than 23,000 registered voters in this district. And I just think you need to make a real strong effort to reach all of them. And my point was on the Schroeder Hall issue is not only did we not find out about that council vote 8 days ahead of time, we didn't find out about it until a month after. And I think, and whether you were for or against the location of a mentally ill homeless center in the neighborhood, you had the right to know that was happening. That was a huge deal, and we didn't know. And you had a follow-up to that also?
An opportunity for
Council Member
O'Donnell to respond.
Yeah. Thank you, and I appreciate the question. Absolutely, I'll keep up the monthly meetings. Again, I'm the only council member who every month is in the same spot. You can come and get me. Let me know your issues, your neighbor's issues. That's the purpose of that meeting, that monthly meeting. Emailings, we do a lot of emailings out of the 4th District. If you're not on the list, let's get you on the list so that we can keep you informed. I do a lot of meetings in the interim, too. I can tell you, I've had, I'm sure it's over 200 meetings during my tenure in office. I not only do the monthly meeting, I do meetings on the weekends so that we can get all folks who might be working during that Wednesday afternoon the opportunity to come in and share their thoughts with me. And I do a lot of mailings out, too, so little cards so that people know, hey, O'Donnell's having a meeting, we need you down there, we need to, get educated from, everybody's perspective in those meetings. So again, communication. And I'm not sure what he's talking about on Schroeder Hall with regard to the specific vote, but I can tell you, okay, I am the key no vote on the Schroeder Hall proposal. My votes reflect that. I am the guy that will fight for you. Take a look at the airport. Who stood up for you? I'm proven. I will not walk away from the special interest. I assure you that.
Hi, my name is Seamus Innes. I'm the secretary of the Long Beach chapter of the Sir Prater Foundation. And I live here in the 4th District, and I've lived here since about second grade. And my question for you, for all three candidates, is if you're aware of the program to remove or reconfigure the Long Beach Breakwater and bring waves back to Long Beach and bring tourism and jobs and infrastructure back to Long Beach, and what your position on that proposal is.
You already hit that first? Or? Okay, so first of all, I'd love to see part of that wall come down. I actually talked about that slightly at the Dan's breakfast a few months ago. And it would create tourism. It could create jobs. I do think the Army Corps of Engineers need to finish up their study, just exactly what's going to happen. We can't progress until we have that. That's a funding issue. But I do think once we're able to provide the funds and get that survey done, if it says we can do this, we should move forward, because I agree with you. I'd love to see waves back there. It would create tourism, jobs. I think it would be a good thing.
Well, I am a realist, and I know the city spent a lot of money on that project, and the Army did not come through. And as far as talking about a breakwater, I believe in the final study, the word breakwater does not appear in the title. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a Clean Water Act for the Port of San Pedro. So yes, I'd like to see it happen. I just don't think realistically the Army is up to do anything at this point. And in tough economic times, I'm a realist. Sure, I'd like to have it happen, but I don't see it on the immediate agenda. I know Councilmember O'Donnell has been a big champion of that project, and I'm just not seeing where the progress has been made on.
So I guess the question is, will you fight for this project or will you not? I'm not hearing you say you take a position.
Okay, I'm going to defer to the moderator here. If this is a Q&A on me,
I'll move on, Darrell. I mean, I think it's a legitimate question, though. If you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer.
I'm going to defer to the moderator. If Bob gives you okay, if we're going to have a debate.
Darrell, the moderator isn't going to be up there with you at the
council. I just don't understand that.
These are tough issues.
I don't understand the antagonistic attitude here. I thought I answered the question. If Mr. O'Donnell is not happy with my answer, then he needs to speak for himself, okay, and not question me. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I guess I just didn't think it was an answer. And listen, when you're running for city council, it's not easy. I get it. And when you're sitting in that seat, it's not easy. You got to make tough decisions, and I've made tough decisions. I mean, not all of them popular.
Answer the question, then.
That's what I'm doing. Let me get there. If you know my record, you know that I've been the strongest proponent for taking a look at reconfiguring the breakwater. You know that. You know me. I will continue to push this issue.
Hi, my name is Michael Comfort, and my question is for Mr. Watkins.
In regards to your 1996 contractor license revocation and your 1999 denial of reinstatement of your licensing, you have stated to numerous media that you have a little bit of a lack of memory of these events, and they were over the course of a seven-year period. My question is if you have a lack of memory with these events, how are you going to be able to remember what you vote for and what you don't vote for and what you're going to be doing in the council and for our city?
Good questions, and thank you for being here. Now, this project happened back in 20 years ago, and I think the I don't recall part was someone addressed the question was whether I had reapplied after this was all done, and if it got denied, how, why, and I did not recall that part. I think that's the part that you're quoting in the paper. But for the record, once again, this is something that occurred 20 years ago. I was a new contractor, new to the game, new to the business. I played by the rules, I thought, because what happened was I had a stamp set of plans that were approved by a county. The progress was approved by the county, and I did not know that state law superseded county law, and that's what happened here. I couldn't afford the fight. I gave up because it was coming out of my pocket. I was just about broke, and that's what happened. And once again, I can talk about this later with anybody I want, but this is not going to be the topic of this forum because the forum is going to be about the issues in the 4th District, but you're right. As far as what will I do, this is what it's all about. This is addressing situations and issues, and I'll be more than happy to talk about issues pertaining to the 4th District right now. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Wesley Garrison. I'm a resident on St. Joseph Avenue. I have a question for all three of the candidates. Knowing that we are in a very difficult budget arena for the last few years and for the foreseeable future, we cannot cut ourselves to a balanced budget every single year. What are your thoughts on increasing revenues to the city, and how would you go about doing that?
So I just want to make sure I understand the question. The question is about the budget, and basically, how do we balance the budget? Do I support a balanced budget? And the answer is I do support a balanced budget, absolutely. In fact, I've worked to balance our budget for the last how many years, and we do have a balanced budget. We don't do what Sacramento or Washington does.
I understand that. I was also, how about your thoughts on increasing revenue to the city so you cannot always cut to a balanced budget?
Listen, I'm quite open to increasing revenue. I think the question is, what does that mean? Am I ready to run out and seek a tax increase? No. You know, our residents are hurting too. You can't ask them to dig deeper into their pocket. It has to be shared pain. Listen, when I have to cut in my home, we have to cut down at City Hall, and that's what we've done. Just a few years back, we had an annual general fund balance of about $404 million. That is now down. Revenues are down to $381 million approximately last year. I think we bumped it up in the interim to maybe $5 million more. But what you're seeing here is that expenses are going up, revenues are going down. And the fact of the matter is that the city of Long Beach has to balance their budget just like everybody else. I played a major role in that as one who sits on the Budget Oversight Committee. So I spent a lot of time on our budget. And again, we are not going to be fakes in Long Beach. We're going to make tough decisions. I've made tough decisions. I'm not afraid to make tough decisions. And I'll do it again. But we are not going to mirror what other levels of government are doing or aren't doing, to be honest with the American people. We can be honest with our citizens. When you look at our budget, it's balanced. It isn't always pretty. We've had to make some tough cuts, and those cuts have affected real people. I understand that. But the bottom line is, with Patrick O'Donnell there, you're going to have a balanced budget.
I'd like to respond with the examples of what I've done in the past as opposed to making promises, but I aim for a balanced budget. I've been working on the city's budget since 2002. I was part of a 4th District Budget Advisory Committee, and what I brought to that group was the concept of what I call non-traditional revenue streams or non-tax-based revenue streams. And I proposed to the city at that time that we start looking at naming rights for buildings, all kinds of corporate partnerships. That lost steam until 2008 when I presented again. I presented at that time because the city had hired a consulting firm to put together some corporate partnerships. They charged the city $10,000 a month for 24 months, $240,000, and the city didn't like what they saw, or council didn't like what they saw, and we lost the money and didn't get a single corporate partnership out of that. I tried to salvage that situation and called on the Director of Economic Development, who's no longer with the city, to try to get those plans in place. Again, fast forward to 2010 when I presented again, and just can't get a lot of traction. That's one of the big reasons I'd like to get in office, so I have more clout so I can bring these programs to the city. One thing, Parks, Recreation, and Marine is way ahead of City Council on this one. They actually have a partnership program going already, and they're really serious about naming rights. So that's just one of the plans I have to bring more revenue in to balance the budget.
The budget is the city's biggest issue right now, and like the councilman stated, it's going to get tighter. And we do need to look at what programs can we downsize. Technology is a perfect example. We have an antedated system that we're going to have to look at maybe subbing that part out. We might save $12 million as a city, but we're going to have to look at ways that we can do this, because it's not going to grow any. There is no magic money out there. The city does everything it can for grants and everything else. Last night I had the opportunity to attend the LA Arts meeting down in the Mola Center, and there was a big concern. We're getting the arts all cut out. Everything's getting cut. But we need to find, how do we bring money into the city? And it's going to be through private partnerships. It's going to be through corporate naming. It's whatever you have to do. Because it is going to be the last resort, raising taxes. Because, and I agree, like the councilman said, you know, it's going to be the last resort, but if we do it, it's going to be all the way across the board. Everybody that lives in this city is going to have to pay part of that tax. It's not just going to be the 3rd, 4th, and 5th district, which is the highest tax base of this city. Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, my name is Jerry Bertram. I live in Los Altos, so I'm just a little bit to the east of here. Anyway, my question for you, can you hear me well enough, John?
Yeah, I just got back from the split.
Okay. My question was the Seaport Marina Hotel and development. You guys are talking about lack of revenue, tax revenue coming into the city. I think this would have been an excellent project to bring in additional revenue to the city. And what kind of, we know where Councilman O'Donnell stands on the issue. I would like the two of you, remaining council or candidates, to speak on that particular development and why you think it should go through or not go through.
I'll go first on this. First of all, I think the project should have been voted to go through by the city council, because I think alterations and changes would have been made by council, I mean by the Coastal Commission. There's no way they would have approved the project for the size, but we should have let it continue on and take shape from there, because that was a project that we needed to start at that location. Personally, I would like to have seen something 6 to 8 stories in that area, and I think that's probably what Coastal would have been doing, but now it's going to be 3 or 4 years probably before they actually break ground. And I might be off on that, but it's going to be a while. I would like to have seen something happen there, and like I said, I think we kind of put the brakes on it. I think what that also did was push some of our private developers aside for right now. I think they're going to wait. They're going to wait, sit it out, see what happens. And we don't have people banging on our door waiting to get in. I mean, we have to court them as best as we can. I think that really sent a bad ripple to the business community.
Well, I'll differentiate myself from that answer right there. I disagree with Mr. Watkins on that our city council should not have made a decision just defer to another government body. I don't think I would have gone that way. But I've stated publicly before that I think Second PCH is really the poster child for why we need council members with business acumen sitting in those seats. The fact that this project, first of all, that corner needs to be developed. Something needs to happen with it. But the fact that this went on for 4 years and council couldn't communicate to the developer that 12 stories was a deal breaker, that is beyond me, how we don't make progress with this. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the developer losing so much money on this. Well, our city lost a lot of money. Our city put a lot of time, energy, and money into this project. And we need to have a better outcome at the end of it. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, a couple comments. I did vote no on it because I felt 12 stories was too tall, quite frankly. I didn't think it was in character with the area. And if you look at the zoning overlay for the area, it was actually set up to ensure that there would be no second downtown. And to me, 12 stories put us under threat of having a second downtown. But again, some of the comments, I'm not sure where they are exactly on this project. But the fact of the matter is we do need to get something done on that corner. And it was a couple weeks after I voted no, I brought an item forward to City Council to expedite the planning process and to get us, kick-started and taking a look at what we can do at 2nd and PCH and doing it fast. Let's not go slow. Let's go fast. Let's have maximum community input for sure. Let's get something, we need to make some alterations to the CDIP plan. Let's do it. They might even be higher than they are right now. I actually think when you get community input, you might find that. But I won't know until we get community input. But again, I am a guy who said, hey, let's turn up the gas and get moving. And to finish, I should tell you that every time that developer walked into my council office, your council office, I told him 12 stories was too tall. He felt very confident that he had the votes that night, went ahead with it, and look what happened. Unfortunate situation.
I really appreciate having the... this looks like a council meeting. This is Diana O'James. Actually, I was going to say I really appreciated having the councilman's full attention, because at the council meetings, quite often he's off doing something else and not listening to public comment. Okay, and I do, by the way, mention it then. The question I have for Patrick O'Donnell is, I do know you were running for assembly, and has all that money been returned for contributions, one? Two, are you willing to sign a document saying that in 2 years you will not run for another office, that you would actually stay your 4 years and not run for another office? The question I have for Daryl Supernaw is, I was just wondering if you could explain how important not important nonpartisanship is, because certainly you could have all of the backing and all the campaign, contributions and PACs that the other two have, so perhaps you could address that. And for John Watkins, I have a little bit of a concern. This is just a rumor I heard, so perhaps you could address it or dispel it. I had heard that you had retired from the police department early on a disability leave. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, and then proceeded to go out and participate in triathlons. So if you would address that, I would, really appreciate it. Okay? Thank you.
Let me go first, because that's a good one. I retired after 29 years with a service retirement, and no, there was no disability attached whatsoever, because I'm physically fit 100%. That was never an issue. Have I been hurt on the job? Well, numerous times. I've had more body parts cut on and put back together in my 29 years. But no, there was no physical limitations, and no, I did not go off on any type of disability whatsoever. And yes, I do Ironmans. Thank you for bringing that up.
So, Diane, I think your question was about being supported by PACs and whatnot. What does that mean?
I was saying that you were touting yourself as nonpartisan. You could have all the funds that the other two perhaps are getting, but instead you've chosen nonpartisan. So I thought maybe you could address the importance, if you think it's important, address that particular issue.
Okay. Well, you can say I chose it, but the voters chose it. They decided that City Council is a nonpartisan position. They also decided that it's a part-time position, and they decided to pay for the position. So anyone who wants to thwart those rules, I think, is going against the will of the voters. Then that's why I'm insisting on that. In terms of support from political action committees, yes, I haven't taken that. And for you members of the audience who don't know, You're limited as an individual to the contributions you can make to my campaign. You're limited at $350 per individual. The political action committees are not limited in what they spend on a campaign. So to give you an example, if you see my one-page black and white flyer from FedEx office, that's what I have. This is what one household, three voters, got from my opponents so far. And we have two and a half more weeks in the campaign. And I think all this, what I'm hearing from the voters, is they don't appreciate it. They don't like all the money spent on council elections. So I'm trying to, again, go with the will of the voters and run a sensible, not a campaign dominated by money.
Thank you, Daryl. Quickly, just a comment on the part-time council. I do believe it's important that we keep the part-time council. If you go to our local constitution, which is our city charter, it says that the city council shall be part-time. And it's interesting. I know they offer council members actually health insurance and benefits. And I can assure you, I'm the cheapest council member. I don't take them. I have a job somewhere else, and I get them there. But to your question about me running for the assembly, I am not running for the assembly. You asked about a past campaign account. Correct.
That your assembly campaign account.
Right. I returned some of it, but not all of it, and I don't completely know the status of what's where. But there is money going back to people who gave it to me originally.
Well, if you're not going to run just for assembly, I would assume you would return all of it.
Okay. And I may very well. Right now, I got to be honest with you. I am focused on running for the city council. And that takes an awful lot of time. Listen, I have a full-time job. I'm the only guy up here with a full-time job going to work, 9 hours a day. And I've got to do it in a week. It's not an easy task, I can assure you. But it's something I've chosen to tackle because I believe in my community. I believe I can make a positive difference. And others believe I can, too.
About the pledge, yes.
Oh, I am not running for the assembly.
No, are you going to put that in writing somewhere? Are you willing?
I'm not a guy who jumps into signing all kinds of pledges. Hold on.
Okay.
You've got my word here, so listen to me. Are you going to listen? All right.
How do you know if a politician's lying?
Okay, well,
their lips are moving.
What you're telling me right now, what you're telling me, though, is you're not going to be happy with anything I do. That's really what you're telling me. And what I'm telling you is I'm giving you my word, okay? But I'm not, the minute I start signing things, then you're going to require them to sign things. And that's, I think they would agree too, is kind of a sordid path to go down.
Thank you.
Listen, I realize not all my answers are going to make you happy, but, I try to represent my community to the best I can. I know we had issues over the marijuana dispensaries in the past. I know you haven't always been happy with my votes, but I can tell you I'm acting in the best interest of my community and protecting it too.
Hi, my name is Juan Rendon. I'm a small business owner, and my question is specifically to Mr. Watkins, going back to the Donning for Doffing. Being a small business owner and being a small business owner for over 20 years, believe me, there's so many people that are litigious, but nothing's more troublesome than coming from within. You said that you were not part of the Donning for Doffing. Your part of the lawsuit was for hours. There's a way to approach that, and that's the labor board. Did you go to the labor board instead of incurring more fees for us taxpayers that are already burdened with a bunch of taxes, instead of kicking in millions or hundreds of thousands, whatever the dollar amount was, okay, millions, there is an avenue for you to pursue that. And as a small business owner, I would imagine you would know how to go about it without incurring a major expense if you have your employer, the city, not heeding what's entitled to you. So I don't understand why you would incur more fees for us taxpayers by joining in the lawsuit. Would you could have gone to the labor board, they would have called a mediation, it would have been done within hours as opposed to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Thanks, Juan. Okay, so once again, when a person has a grievance within the union basically goes after it because that's what your union does, it represents the employee. And in this case, once again, the union represented or had attorneys come in and they all signed the reason why they thought this lawsuit was part of what they wanted, but there was like an other section. Like I said, I did not agree to the donating doffing. No one had to pay me to get dressed. I thought, you know what, I can get dressed on my own. I don't need to get paid for it. But once again, this was something that had been brought up a couple different times before management, that two sergeants in charge of the airport for that 8-hour period when they were at home should be compensated for at least an hour or two a day. And that was something that was never moved on, and we tried pushing that issue. So that's why it happened, and I'm sorry it got mixed together, but once again, that was my portion of what I was looking for, to get compensated for at least an hour or two for 8 hours of being stuck to the house by a phone in case something happened at our Long Beach Airport.
Did you just say the union lawyers wrote up the lawsuit? I thought you said the union wasn't part of it. And also, if that's part of the job, if you're the sergeant and you're on call, then why didn't you just decline the promotion? I mean, if it's part of the job, you got paid for the job, you cashed your check, and then after you cashed your check, you sue, and you're not suing your employer, you're suing us. You're suing, the citizens are not your enemy. We, you know, we pay you. If you don't want the job, don't take the job. But don't take the paycheck, cash the check, and then sue us after.
You know, I'll answer part of this question for you because it's kind of a question, but with an answer. First of all, I got promoted in 2000, and it was like 7 years later when I went to the airport. So when I was a sergeant in patrol, I did 10 hours of work for 10 hours pay. I took the job at the airport. I didn't realize that at the time I'd be responsible for being at home 8 hours a day or nearby my phone or able to respond within 15 minutes of an emergency or an accident at the airport. So, in answer to your question, when I got my promotion, it wasn't because of the airport. It's a job I took on later on. And after being called several times, I realized, you know what, there's something to look at here. And you're right, that's something you sign on to. But once again, the Long Beach Airport, we saved them money because they did not have to cover that shift with a full-time sergeant during that time. So the reality is we saved the Long Beach Airport probably close to $200,000+ for two and a half sergeants to cover those two shifts when there was no sergeant there by trying to get 1 hour of on-call or 2 hours. So that's how that worked out.
Did you say that the union worked out the Donnie McDonald lawsuit? You said the...
I think you said that the union, when you talked to the union lawyers at the union about the Donning and Doffing lawsuit, I was under the impression the union was not involved.
No. Okay. You know what? I think probably, I'll end this real quick here. The union itself is the one that brought in, okay? Lawyers did represent. I never actually talked to an attorney. I filled out a paperwork saying what I thought. Never had to speak to an attorney. Why? Because they were after the guys that really thought they needed to be compensated for this. So, to be honest with you, I wasn't involved in that day-to-day negotiations, so I really can't answer a lot of those questions. I'm sure that probably our city attorney could probably be better answering that for you, but like I said, I don't know. I don't know the answers for you. I'm sorry.
Hi, Martin Echepar.
I just want to clarify a point.
Just so you know, where I'm coming from as a council member sat in many a closed session discussing this issue with our city lawyers. The Long Beach Police Officers Association was not involved. It was some outside attorneys.
But they did it at the police officers. I mean,
all I'm telling you is, from my perspective, what I saw happen, the engagement we had with the other side, it was some outside attorneys. It wasn't the Police Officers Association. So that's what I know.
Martin Echepar, question for all three candidates. Obviously, there's a hot-button issue on this recent lawsuit. I'm also aware of the Lobstergate wrongful termination of police officers. That was another multi-million-dollar case that the city lost. I'm personally aware of two Long Beach police responses to my personal residence, one that was overreaction, and second, one where they were defending the detective's wife's real estate business issue. Is it appropriate or perhaps needed a civilian oversight committee over the police issue, since we're having an issue with law enforcement crime, so that we have a little bit better understanding that, you know, when I hear private attorneys, someone employed those private attorneys. I don't think it was anybody else other than the police officers. I think that's kind of a cop-out to hear that. Maybe we need some civilian oversight so we can get some input on this and maybe look at maybe the resources that are being devoted to where, whether law laws are being enforced on speeding issues and speeding areas and so forth to get a better understanding for the community?
Hear, hear.
Yes, do we need a civilian oversight committee?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we have to answer to you. And that's your responsibility to, if you want to be part of that, you talk to your councilperson to have them basically get you involved, because it's very important that we're not just you, anybody that's in the audience here. I mean, all cities need that, because we answer to your calling. And so it's very important that whoever basically wants to get involved follows through with it. Talk to your council member. I'm sure they'll help you find the right answers and give you the phone numbers and maybe interview you or whatever it takes. But like I say, it's very important that the city has a civilian review panel.
Okay.
Well, quickly, just two quick points. The city already does have a civilian oversight panel. It's passed by the voters about 15 years ago. It's the Citizens Police Complaint Commission. And if you have any interest in that, I very much encourage you to maybe seek a spot on that. Actually, I was on it for a number of years. I learned a lot. And it gives civilians a role in taking a look at what's going on with our police behavior. And I think it benefits the police officers and those seeking redress. But as far as creating a new oversight body of the police department, I think you need look no further than Los Angeles and look at the way that they manage their police department. You know, it's quite political. And it's an incredible amount of government out there, and you've got just a lot of, you read the LA Times, go no further, read the LA Times and see what happens when you inject, an oversight body over a department like that.
I will agree that we do have a citizen's complaint commission. But the issue is with commissions in general, and that there will be a hot button issue, and we'll put a commission together, and over the years they just lose steam, and you just have to stay diligent on these issues. A great example was the Schroeder Hall debacle. When we first found out about this, we couldn't believe that the Homeless Services Advisory Commission approved this. So several members of the community here, Ed Marrero, went down and visited the commission, and guess what they told us? Oh, we never saw Schroeder Hall. It never came before our commission. So I think that's something that's kind of endemic here, that we have problems that just don't go through the proper channels, and we need to make our commission strong, and we need to make sure they have scrutiny over all the issues.
Gentlemen, hi. Yeah, first of all, I want to say I really appreciate the police department. When I have called them or been involved, they've been first class, and so I like our cops. So, the city of Long Beach, the government is too large. We've got departments that duplicate. We've got a city. Let me we need to put our thinking caps on, because the budget keeps getting smaller, the tax dollar keeps getting smaller, income to the city keeps getting smaller, and it's going to continue to do that. So in order to balance the budget, we need to shrink our government. We've got a mayor and the city manager. Now, who runs the city? We need, there are cities that have just one position like that. One paying position, that would save money there. We have a city prosecutor and a city attorney. Could those departments be combined to save money? There is that word outsourcing. What could we do to save money? Could you give us a couple of examples each of what you would like to see for our city to save money? Thank you, gentlemen.
I'll take the hit first, because it's not going to be popular either way you look at it. The person I talked about was technology. We are going to have to look at subbing that out. We do have to look at finding someone that can come into our city and get this cut in half. I think it can be done. I've talked to several people within the city, and that seems to be what they're looking at. And I think that, once again, that could save almost $12 million alone in our budget. That's a start. Another item we're going to have to look at, and this is not going to be popular either, is possibly our gas department. There's jobs there, and we don't want to lose jobs within the city, but there's only, I think, three cities that have their own gas department, and we're going to look at it. Can we combine that agency with the water department? Can we put them together? How can we pull these units together, minimize management? Because I think that's the biggest issue. Fleet. Our city has a lot of vehicles. We look at fleet, what they charge for oil changes, et cetera. This is a big cost. It's a big part of the budget. When you hear about oil changes costing $200 for some of these vehicles, and I think to myself, I paid $39 for mine. How come they're paying $200 for the same vehicle? You know, you have to wonder, where's the cost? So we do need to look at that. Those are very good points. And I really think the fleet is something that we have to figure out. Okay, you know, we talk about the city pot purchase X amount of vehicles. Do we purchase the right vehicles? Can we keep fixing what we have? No, we do need to replace what we have. We need to find better deals. They're out there. We need to shop. We need to be more prudent about that. But I do think, once again, it's not the popular thing. No one wants to talk about job loss within the city, but we do need to look at how we can combine jobs and how we can cut the costs. Thank you.
You know, when I'm sure, and I've been quoted saying that I think we need a line, I can do a line-by-line analysis of our budget, and I think we have to really scrutinize that budget at a certain point. It's a difficult process, and it'll cost money. If we go to zero-based budgeting or some formula like that, it'll take time and money to do that. But, you know, we've been on these austerity programs for a long time, and what I've told clients for years and years who are in dire straits, it's really tough to save yourself into prosperity. And in the city of Long Beach, it's even tougher to borrow yourself into prosperity. We really need to look at the revenue side, and this is what I talked about before. We need to exhaust every possible resource for corporate partnerships, naming rights, etc. Also, my opponents have both said that they are in favor of filling our retail space with medical offices. There are two primary sources of income for this city: property tax and sales tax. The second you go put medical offices in these prime retail locations, you're cutting your own throat. And the plan is to put medical offices from Memorial into the Borders Book location. Look right across the street here on the diagonal. We have a Herzog Eye Care now going in. That was a prime retail spot. I just think you need that business acumen at the city council level so this thing doesn't happen.
Great, thank you. Just a quick comment on Herzog. You know, they certainly deserve or serve the public with a medical service, but they also sell a lot of glasses out there, a lot of glasses. So that's a good thing. A couple of comments made that I absolutely agree with. John, you talked about taking a look at information technology. You've been doing your reading, obviously, because that is something we are doing at the City Hall level. It's been a point of conversation for the last couple of years, but that's, you know, going to be initiated soon. I look forward to it. Finding efficiencies, absolutely. Getting rid of our gas department, I'd be a little careful with that one for a couple reasons. We do own a gas department. You own a gas department. And that gas department delivers a pretty solid service. They have high ratings. The gas you buy is lower than if you went somewhere else. So I'd be careful about selling that gas department off. And the gas department is an enterprise fund. And what does that mean is essentially it's in a box. The general fund doesn't eat into that fund. In fact, the gas fund actually makes money, and that is then slid into the general fund so we can cover police, fire, libraries, and streets and sidewalks and other things. But again, you both got great ideas. Daryl just talked about sponsorships and so forth. I think we can make some money there. I don't think it's enough, quite frankly. Just the other night, I sponsored and the city council voted to approve an initiative to allow Parks and Rec to go out and seek sponsorships. And let me give you an example. If we're going to build a dog park over in the Parks and Rec area, what we could do is, before we, you know, throw a shovel in the ground, is go to Petco and say, "Hey, Petco, if you would give us $150,000, for this small dog park, we'll hang your name out there for 3 years." Those kinds of things. So those are the kinds of things that I've been working hard on to make happen and are happening. So I'm proud to say that. But again, a lot of good ideas here, and we're going to need more. It's going to be tough times. But I'm a person who, you know, look at my record, I will make the tough decisions. I will not walk away. Look at the budget vote last year. Okay, it was 5-3, tough vote. Didn't want to make it, but I had to make it. so we can have a balanced budget. I'm a firm believer in a balanced budget and no gimmicks with your budget. We're not going to do what other levels of government do in Long Beach.
Patrick, you've been very forthright with us, honest on your word with the airport, and my question is to Daryl and John, would you uphold that same stance of limiting growth at the airport?
Well, when you say limiting growth, we have a terminal that's already been decided what size that is. We have a noise ordinance that is locked in right now. My opponents, at least one of my opponents, have suggested that we can have more flights there if the noise bucket changes. Well, I attend the Airport Advisory Commission meetings, and I was there 1 week ago on Thursday, and that is not the case. We cannot add one more flight according to the Airport Advisory Commission and all the employees in the airport department. So I'll give you a very definitive answer. We are not going to increase the flights at Long Beach Airport. And I'm not sure if that's the question you're asking, but I think the real key here is to make sure that our airport is a very strong economic engine, that it is financially viable for years to come. We don't want to be on the hook for any bond payments on that operation. So I think that the boutique style that we have now, we need to enhance that. We need to talk about quality, not quantity, in the services they provide there. And the real opportunity there is branding. And I've talked about corporate partnerships. And if you fly into Long Beach Airport and you can't buy a JoJo's t-shirt there, something's wrong.
We're going to have one last question, and then we're going to have a comment, and then we're going to wrap up.
Oh, did I get to answer that one? Because I want to buy corporate duck t-shirts, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. No problem. I came out a long time ago. First of all, Mario Rodriguez has done a fantastic job at the airport. The parking structure is incredible. They got it done 6 months ahead of time, under budget. What a fantastic job. I'm all for the modernization of that airport. I was out there for 3 years. I worked out of trailers. I know that airport. I've been there when the power has gone off because it's flooded. So believe me, the modernization of that airport was more than overdue. I agree with Daryl here. I don't want to see any more flights come into our city. Okay, I mean, whatever flights are there, that's it. We've counted. I don't want to see another flight come in. One of my biggest concerns, I've made this very clear, is the big old Gulf Streams and the Cessna Citation jets that come in. They're noisier than the JetBlues. So anyways, I'd like to see the commercial flights cap where they're at, not grow, and I'd also like to see us take a better look at some of the louder planes that are coming in. Thank you.
We have just one more.
Jim Cope from Los Altos. I'm wondering if you could each comment on maybe why people voted for term limits. Okay, I'm wondering if each of you could comment on why the people of Long Beach voted for term limits for city council.
Well, actually, they didn't vote for term limits. What they voted for was you serve two terms, and then the public may write your name in, if they so choose, for you to serve a third term. They created a higher bar. They wanted to make it more difficult for that third term so they know they got only the good guys in there who will fight for the people. It's that simple.
Well, I won't give you my opinion. I'll give you the opinion of the city attorney when Councilmember O'Donnell attempted to get his name placed on the ballot or ask about if that was feasible, and the assistant city attorney said the spirit of the law is two terms. So I'm not actually the genesis of this is our fourth district, and I believe the ordinance was written inspired by Dr. Tom Clark, who served for 30 years, and the feeling of the people was that we need new blood in, and I will pledge to serve two terms and out. Thank you.
I made a comment a while ago that term limits were voted in, and that's what the people voted for. And I was one of those people that voted for them also, I think. I can't recall, I'll be honest with you. It's one of those things where back then, I think at the time, we were looking at, we had council people in office for way too long. But, you know, what's happening here, the write-in is legal. There's nothing illegal about it. And if the people want to write in his name, they will. But there's nothing illegal about it. And, once again, that'd be a third term. But for the most part, I'm running. I didn't start this campaign waiting to see if somebody else was going to do a write-in. Probably 10 years ago, this man sitting right here, second row back, Mr. Sopo here, I called him Mr. Sopo, I know Joe, he actually got me interested in politics. You know, I kind of blame it on him, but I really got interested in it. And so the more and more I got into it and looked at it, I started doing what I could. And a year early, I retired because I was going to run for this office, not based off anybody on rewriting himself in or anything else like that. I wanted to run for city council and represent this district. I wanted it so bad. Like I said, I started way early. And when I started this campaign, I made it real clear. I'm not doing it for money. I'm going to say this right now so you guys remember this. I'm doing it for free. The first 2 years, right off the start, until I can get some type of corporate sponsorship involved, the money that's supposed to be paid to a councilman is going right back to the youth programs within the 4th District. All of it. Thank you.